Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, God operates in strange ways. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that in olden days, God would speak to his people through the prophets. But now in these latter days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And so as we even look at our Old Testament text today, it's fairly clear that God is able to operate and how it is that he would do so. He called at that time with an audible voice to those who should hear him. And specifically, in this case, Samuel. And if you remember the story of Samuel, Samuel is a young boy given over to the work of the Lord in the tabernacle while Eli and his two sons were very lazy and evil and they did not do the work of the Lord. But Samuel, even being so young, was good. And he did his work, and in fact, he even did the work that was required of the priests, even though he was not a priest himself. And God still used him in order to bring the word of God to Eli and to all of Israel. Now, while God is able to work this way, and he does, this is not a normal way that God would work. In fact, we see that God operates this way with really just the prophets. Today, in these latter days, God speaks to us through his Son. And if we consider that for a moment, that must mean that the latter days began, the end of time began when Jesus came in our flesh and he took on our voice box and he took on our throats and he took on even the air that we breathe. And using these things, Jesus spoke to us. And so we must now be in the latter days. So Jesus looks at these two men, Philip and Nathanael, and he calls them as his disciples, as his apostles, people who would follow him. And it's got to be pretty cool to be able to hear that, because they would follow him and they would be sent out into the world and taking his message out to all of the people. And in this, we find that God is doing a new thing. He's operating now in a new way. He used to speak to the prophets audibly. And in fact, you can even see in our text in the Old Testament that the Lord stood before Samuel and talked to him there in a way that was unique. But now Jesus came in the flesh and he speaks to his people in his body. And now that he's ascended, Jesus speaks even in a new way to us. We find the word of Jesus being faithfully passed down through the scriptures. You know, it really must have been an amazing thing to hear God speak, to have Jesus speak to you in that moment. You've been waiting all your life to hear the voice of God, and I think so many of us still are waiting, and finally you do. I mean, haven't we all kind of asked that question of ourselves, right? Lord, if I could just hear you, I would know what to do. Lord, if you would just tell me what to do, I'll gladly follow you all the days of my life. And all of that just for an audible voice. Well, I've never heard God speak, and I'm guessing that you haven't either. I actually do. I have a friend who's fond of saying this, that if you want to hear the voice of God, read your Bible. And if you want to hear it out loud, read it out loud. Because there the voice of Jesus Christ comes to you from every page of the scriptures. For Philip and Nathanael, it was very cool, though, because the voice of God came to them where they were. And that's an amazing thing. After calling his first disciples, John and James and Peter and Andrew, Jesus goes on to another place in Galilee, and he called more men to himself, Philip and Nathanael. Now, Philip knew Jesus well, it seems. because he was friends with Andrew and Peter. And in hearing Jesus call him to be a disciple, he got very excited. He had been waiting, hoping for this. Indeed, Jesus called him and he couldn't hold it in. And so he ran over to Nathanael and told him, "We found the Christ, the one we've been waiting for, Jesus of Nazareth." You can hear it in his voice, can't you? There's something about hearing a voice that tells you exactly what you should be feeling and what you should be thinking. But Nathanael, even after hearing Philip's voice, he did not get excited. Instead, he had a response that I think we have all too common in our day and age regarding people that, well, we just don't otherwise respect. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of that backwater, hillbilly, redneck town? Still, Nathanael went with Philip to see this one that Philip was calling the Messiah. And as he approached, he looked at Jesus and he judged him. This man's a carpenter. You can see it in his hands and in his muscles. This man's nothing more than just a common laborer. This man's nothing special. And Jesus instead looked at Nathanael and he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." This is to say, I know what you're thinking. At least nothing is hidden from your mind into the world. You say exactly what's there and nothing else. You tell it how you see it. And the thing is, Nathanael isn't wrong. He's right, isn't he? Jesus is a carpenter. Jesus is just the son of Joseph. Jesus is nothing more than a common laborer. Jesus is a redneck. Jesus is a hillbilly from Nazareth. Nathanael knows he's right. And wondering at then what Jesus said to him and that there is no deceit in him, he says, "How do you know that about me?" And Jesus shows that all this is true, but more. When he says, "When Philip called you from a long way off when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now you have to wonder what Nathanael was doing under that fig tree. Now we're not given to know it, but we can maybe speculate. Maybe he was taking a little nap. Maybe he was working on something, maybe whittling. Maybe he was sinning in some way. Obviously, whatever it was important enough to Nathanael that if Jesus had seen this, there must be something more. And it's true. Even though Jesus is the redneck hillbilly of Nazareth, he's also the Son of God. And Nathanael realizes this immediately. It's a cry of faith. And because nothing stops his tongue and his mind, he speaks the truth immediately. "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the one we've been waiting for. You are the King of Israel." And in Nathanael, there is no deceit, so what he says must be true. But Jesus doesn't focus on that, does he? He doesn't say, "Oh, you're right. Let's talk about what my rule and my reign will look like. Let's talk about some preconceived notions that you have in your mind, Nathanael. You may think that I've come to cast out the Romans, but indeed I've come to bring God's kingdom through my death and resurrection. Follow me, who's going to be murdered." Doesn't really say that exactly, does he? Instead, he says, "Do you believe because this little thing that I did shows you who I am? I saw what you were doing, and that's enough for you? I'm telling you, there's going to be even greater things than this. Indeed, you will see the heavens opened and the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." God here is doing a new thing. If you remember back to the book of Genesis, if you remember Jacob, he's out in the wilderness and he grows tired, so he lays down a rock and he falls asleep on it. And in his sleep, he has a dream of a ladder coming down out of heaven and watching the angels go up and down upon that ladder. And I think most people probably look at that and they have no idea what that dream is supposed to be about, except to know that, well, at least the angels seem to be here. That's a good thing. But Jesus here is saying, "I am the ladder. I am the way that the angels ascend and descend upon this earth. I am the way that they come down and minister to you and all that they need to do. I am the way that the message of God gets to you." Now, why that last one? Because the word angel in Greek is angelos, and it means messenger. One who brings the message of God to the people. One who brings the voice of God, the word of God. Indeed, in a way, you can say that all of the pastors that you have had in your life are angels. Certainly not in the way that we're these spiritual beings that we know worship God and his temple up in heaven. The ones with six wings or the ones with eyes all over their bodies. The ones with four faces on their heads. And certainly not in the way that we're perfect, because we're not. We're not those kinds of angels. We're messengers bringing the word of God to you, that you may hear the Lord calling to you today. Come and follow me. We are messengers. And in a real way, Jesus is the way that we bring the message. The scriptures say that the feet of those who bring the message, the good news of God in Christ Jesus, are beautiful. And it's true. For in that message, we ascend and descend upon the Lord and his work. And in this way, we are able to bring you what you need. See, God is working in a new way. He called out before all of creation and things happened. He called out to the people and they heard and they followed. And then they called in Jesus. They saw him and he called there and they followed after him there. And now he calls to us from the word that is brought to you by sinful men. He doesn't speak out of the heavens. He doesn't speak in a way that's confusing like he did with Samuel. You know, interestingly, if you follow that story of Samuel at all, you realize Samuel had no idea what was going on. The word of the Lord hadn't come to the people in so long. But Samuel, at that point, had not heard the voice of God. And so when he heard his name being called out, he should have known. And yet instead, he went to the wicked Eli. The majority of people throughout all of history have never heard that audible voice of God. And yet Samuel and Eli eventually figured this out. Eli, very unfaithful, told him, listen. Listen and do what the voice tells you to do. And it is the same way now today. Not that we hear the voice of God coming out of the heavens or the voice of God standing right before us, but we hear the voice of God coming out of his word in the scriptures. We sit here and we think, all right, well, God, if you want to tell me something, then I will listen to it. And God then is telling you something today. He is telling you that he is greater than all things. He is the one that we worship. He's the one that we adore. He's the one who gives us the commands that we follow. This last week and a half, I think we've seen even how people get a different religion in their heart. And we see how that plays out on the public stage, right? Especially if it's a religion of politic or a religion of following cult-like leaders, whether that's on the conservative side or the liberal side. Either way, we see how people get a different religion in their heart and they replace the things of God with that. And instead, what they find is they now have a new God, and the voice of their God calls them to sacrifice. It calls them to follow that God. And what happens? Well, if you do have a false god in your heart, the god of this world calls you to shed your own blood, to lay down your life for their own sake. But the God of the scriptures, the God that truly is in the heart of man, calls to you and says, I have sent my son to shed his blood so that you no longer need shed yours. We follow after the gods of our own hearts. We follow after the gods of our own making because we're not hearing the voice of the true God. Hear the voice of God today. Repent of your sin and be forgiven. God knows what you're doing. If Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, guess what? He can look into your heart and he sees what you do. And he sees what you think, and he sees what you say. We should be ashamed. I kind of have this feeling that Nathanael was doing something under the fig tree that he wasn't. That's just my feeling. And I think this because when I look at other places in the scriptures, when God and Jesus Christ looks at someone, he knows their sin, but he doesn't just leave them there. He doesn't say, well, you're just a great sinner. Have fun in hell. If indeed you despair over your sin, as so many did who were brought to Jesus, and I think Nathanael is like this, repent of your sin. Apologize to God. Seek his forgiveness. And it will be found in Jesus for you. That is the way that God works today. He calls out with the message of John the Baptizer, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's at hand in the person of Jesus. Jesus is all of God. He is the voice of God. He is the reign of God. He is the life and the light of God. And he calls you to repent and to trust in him. Repent and find the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and find life everlasting. That is what the voice of God is always calling, and he is calling to you today. Did you notice Eli's response when he heard the word of God from Samuel? When God said, I will destroy Eli and his sons, for they are wicked and evil, having blasphemed me. Eli's response was not to say, I'm a great sinner. Is there any hope for me? What salvation can I find now? No, instead his response was, it's God. Let him do whatever he wants to do. For us today, let us not find ourselves in the place of the wicked Eli, but find ourselves in the place of Samuel, in the place of Philip, in the place of Nathanael, and say, speak, O Lord, your servant listens. And what he speaks here is to call you to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And then when you, having been forgiven, you go out, God continues to instruct you in his ways, and he calls you to lay down your lives to sin and to take up the new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Hear the voice of God this day, my friends, for he is calling to you with forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.